Good evening. Certainly good to have each one of you out this evening. We're going to be in Psalm 78 tonight, starting with verse 17. The title of the lesson is Human Nature versus the Nature of God. In the Old Testament period, God chose Israel, not because they were the most numerous or the strongest. He was just going to make a point. And he had to get to Christ, and he chose this group of people. And one of the purposes was to show that even people with the best opportunity, with doctrine, scripture, a path to follow, will end up killing their Savior. That's the best mankind can do. And he exposed that. Well, Psalm 78, the psalmist is going to expose that too. That you got the unfaithfulness of his people, but you got the faithfulness of God still. Psalm 78, verse 17 through 20. I got 7 points tonight, but people look at that whenever I got a long outline. It's always a short sermon. It's weird. I mean, if it's 3 points and that's all there, you better be ready. I went long this morning, but it was important this morning. Psalm 78, verse 17 through 20, number 1. Man will test God. Now, you find that hard to believe, but they will. Verse 17. Yet, they still continue to sin against Him, to rebel against the Most High in the desert. I mean, they didn't learn anything. Korah's rebellion, people, thousands of people are dying at one time. They just keep on sinning against Him. Verse 18, and in their heart they put God to the test by asking food according to their desire. You're not satisfied. You're complaining. You're murmuring. You're not thrilled with your lot in life. You're in a desert, and the only provider of life is God, and you're going to complain. And you notice, in their heart, they put God to the test. It starts in the heart. Dissatisfaction, a lot of bad things start growing. Weeds. And it always leads to words. Verse 19. Then they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Well, in your right mind, yes. But they're questioning God's ability, His capability of doing it. Well, behold, He struck the rock so that waters gushed out and streams were overflowing. I remember in class one time, you know, never really thought about it. You know, Moses providing water for them out there. I'm always kind of thinking like a trickle or creek. You know, you back up to verse 16, and He brought forth streams also from the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. 600,000 men over age 20, women, children, animals. It had to flow like rivers. Now they see this. And you know, they're questioning God, you know. And if you saw that, then you ought to get some confidence. Verse 20. Behold, He struck the rock so that waters gushed out and streams were overflowing. Can He give bread also? Will He provide meat for His people? They're questioning. They're testing Him. They don't believe it. You know, and so man will come up with these dark views of God and God's ability, and that's not good for man. Verse 21 and 22, if you're an unbeliever, you're going to manifest it. Verse 21, therefore the Lord heard, and that's not good. You know, even Jesus, you know, they kept their thoughts to Himself, and He'd answer their thoughts, you know. You know, you think that would be scary. Well, you're going to speak what you feel toward God in the bad way, and He hears. That's not good. Therefore, the Lord heard and was full of wrath, and a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger was mounted against Israel, because they did not believe in God and did not trust in His salvation. I mean, God's angry. You're supposed to be trust. You're the people of God here. You have benefited from the relationship. Israel was delivered miraculously through the Red Sea. That should have done it forever. No, they were idolaters at heart. They brought their idolatry with them. And they're unbelievers. God calls it, the psalmist calls it exactly what they're, and they didn't trust in His salvation. That when times are dark, you don't believe nothing good's coming out of this relationship. That God's ultimate goal is to get them to the promised land. His ultimate goal is to get you and me to heaven. That never changes, no matter what's happening in the church or in your life. He wants you and me to trust in Him, that He's going to bring it about. You think it's impossible, but guess what? You need to trust. And He's upset with them. Unbelievers don't trust in God when things go bad. Sometimes that exposes where we're at. Verse 23 through 29, God's going to give you what you want. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12. You want something different, God will give you a delusion. Verse 23. Yet He commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven. And He rained down manna upon them to eat and gave them food from heaven. You know, He opened the doors of heaven. Malachi is talking about, test me, see if I can't open the windows of heaven and see how many blessings you get. You imagine you open the door and it just all falls out and flows your way. God's doing miraculous things to keep them alive. They're getting the manna. Verse 25, man did eat the bread of angels that come from heaven. And He sends them food in abundance. Verse 26, He caused the east wind to blow in the heavens, and by His power He directed the south wind. 27, when He rained meat upon them like the dust, He even winged fowl like sand of the seas. They want food. You know, you can push God. You can test Him. And He can cause you to reevaluate everything you said and take back everything you said real quick. And I mean, we've got man out here as a dust to the ground. You want food, huh? I mean, you want quail? You want more than bread? Okay, I'll give you quail until the stench is in your nose. 28. Then He let them fall in the midst of their camp around about their dwellings. Verse 29. So they ate and they were filled, and their desire He gave to them. You don't want my way, you want it your way. Okay. Remember Israel when they wanted a king? They wanted to be like every other nation. Well, you're giving up me as your king. Man always in his wisdom cheats himself. They want a king like everybody else. You know what He told them? The king's going to tax you to death. You got to now pay to support them. And you know, you're starting this government thing and they're going to want more and more. Well, God gives you what you want. That's through, you know, you got to be careful. Verse 30 through 33, but you know, just because He gives you what you want, that doesn't mean everything's okay. Verse 30. Before they had satisfied their desire, while their food was in their mouths, the anger of God rose against them and killed some of their stoutest ones and subdued the choice men of Israel. I mean, they rush out there and they get that meat. And I mean, just about the time it tastes so much better than that bread. Anger God, that was the wrong thing to have done. You need to trust God. You need to accept your lot in life. If you want to do better, you need to practice the parable of talents, Matthew 25. You be faithful with what you have, the Lord will give you more. You cheat Him on that one talent deal, He'll call you a wicked and lazy slave, and will take away what you got. Well, they no sinner got it. They got what they wanted. And all they got what God wanted, which was anger. God has those feelings. And you know, He starts killing off the stoutest. And the verse 32, in spite of all this, they still sinned. I mean, you can get stubborn and hard-hearted and darkness can set in. You're capable of doing worse things than you've done so far. I mean, it can get worse. And in spite of God killing people all around you, they still sinned and did not believe in His wonderful works. It wasn't that there weren't miracles happening. There wasn't somebody that says, you know, wow, we got a wonderful God. Maybe we need to trust in Him and life will, you know, there's a reason we're out here. And there was a bigger plan at work. I mean, we had to kill off those unbelievers and raise up a new generation in a 40-year period. They get to go into the promised land because the other people defaulted. And it was the fault of them other people is why you're out in the wilderness. I mean, you're born out there and you're 20 years old and you've been, all you know is desert. This is the best of the world. This is life. And all with time, it's because of sinfulness in the past, God trying to get them to the promised land with somebody to listen, someone. You know, in Verse 32, in spite of all this, they still sinned, did not believe in his wonderful works. So he brought their days to an end in futility and their years in sudden terror. It's one thing to have bad things happen in life. But in the end, you look back, and it's all for naught. I mean, they die here in the wilderness. What did you accomplish? I mean, all you knew was slavery in Israel and Egypt, and here you are. You're marching to your death every day, slowly but surely. You're going to die out here in this wilderness. Futility. All because of unbelief, and all because you can't learn anything, and their years in sudden terror. I mean, Hebrews 10 talks about if you walk away from the church, you walk away from the blood of Jesus, you need to have an expectation, earnest expectation of judgment. You need to have a terrifying expectation because it's coming. Verse 34 and 35, then they made their move. You know, there's a time that you need to get right. I mean, this thing can get far worse, and your circumstance is already bad. Did you learn anything? 34, when he killed them, then they saw him. Oh, yeah. Yeah, now. Most people don't even learn. Then they sought him and returned and searched diligently for God. Boy, that's good. That's the only way back ever if you're in trouble, is a sincere, diligent search for God. You're not going to find him otherwise. Esau, Hebrews 12, he sought repentance with tears, but he couldn't find it. And then in 2 Timothy 2, 23 through 26, it talks about people opposing the truth. I mean, if you're taking a position against the truth, God's got to grant you repentance, Timothy said. He told Timothy. God has to grant it. You're just not walking back in saying everything's okay. So these people, on the surface, are diligently searching for God. Hallelujah. Verse 36 and 37. A skunk is what it is. Already got a rebuke on them verses already before y'all got here. You know? And I had to explain. You read 34 and 35, there's something that stinks here. I mean, you read 34 and 35, when he killed them, then they sought him, returned and searched diligently for God, and remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God, their Redeemer. Wow! Hallelujah! Verse 36. But they deceived him with their mouth. Oh! You're in deep trouble. God's killing people right and left around you. And you're claiming you're diligently seeking with all your heart. And you're just giving him words. And lied to him with their tongue. For their heart was not steadfast toward him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. God wants people steadfast to him. He keeps his word. And they're lying to him when you need to be. Remember David and Bathsheba and Uriah? When he repents, and Nathan tells him that story, and he repents, and in Psalms 51 is that prayer, he's honest. Thou art justified. Whatever you do to me, I deserve it. Now there's honesty when you're guilty. Well, these folks lied to God, and they deceived him. Their heart wasn't steadfast. Verse 38 and 39, you need to be thankful that God is who he is. And he, being compassionate, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. He can be thankful God has a bigger plan, that he has to get to Christ. How many times would he have just wiped them out and said, that's it? No. He, being compassionate, forgave their iniquity. I mean, the killing stops. It did not destroy them, and often he restrained his anger. He was mad a lot of other times that we don't have him killing people. You know, that's not a good relationship. I mean, it can break out any moment. This can be the one straw that breaks the camel's back. And it just goes over the top. But the psalmist said, and often he restrained his anger and did not arouse all his wrath. He held back.
Why?
39. Thus he remembered that they were but flesh. If he keeps on beating on them, there'll be nobody left. I mean, Jesus said in the end of John 2 that he knew what was in man. God knows what's in man. In Israel, he knows what's in them. And if he just keeps on, there'll be nobody left. And then he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes and does not return. Man's life, there's no reincarnation. You pass, Hebrews 9:27, then comes the judgment. God remembered that. It gave them a break. We're in all accounts, they don't deserve anything. You know, you look at Acts chapter 22. Remember Saul of Tarsus? He said he is the chief of sinners. And he's going to destroy the way, this new way to God through Jesus. And Jesus blinded him. And he wants to know, who art thou, Lord? Jesus, whom you're persecuting. You're persecuting me. You're persecuting my people. We're one, you know. And so we're the people of God today. I mean, what's he want from you and me? Faithfulness. He wants steadfastness. He wants honesty. He wants to let him be God. He don't want to have to be angry and wrathful. I mean, he took that out on Jesus. He wants somebody to show some different nature than born-again people. And so he blinded Saul of Tarsus because he's stubborn. He's a Pharisee. He's one of those guys in Psalm 78. And for 3 days and three nights, he didn't eat or drink. Oh, he was a smart man. He believed sincerely he was right. But he wasn't. And how are you, this religious expert, full of zeal and compassion and commitment to God, how can you end up in so much trouble? What went wrong? Well, he followed the examples of the Pharisees around him. He didn't think. He didn't look at Scripture honestly. And Ananias doesn't want to go to him. You know, and he tells Ananias that you'll find him praying. You'll find a different attitude. I mean, and you know what? God's opposed to proud to get his grace to the humble. Oh, even for the worst of sinners, there is grace to come. In Acts 22, verse 16, and now why do you delay? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Wow. Do you think he thinks God's full of love and kindness and mercy? I mean, he's trying to squeeze the life out of the new covenant. The whole thing that God put up with Israel for all those hundreds of years to get to, he's going to destroy it. You know, he's going to Damascus in noonday heat. He's a madman. And yet, the Lord gave him a way out. I mean, loving kindness and mercy and grace. And you know, you have to put some people in certain situations where they learn. Them people didn't learn back there in the wilderness. He killed people, and they're going to try to trick God. They're going to fake it. And it didn't work. And you know, he wants to know, why do you delay? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Salvation is about you and God being honest. At baptism, basis of salvation is the death of Jesus. We can work out an agreement. If God says, you can accept it, I can accept you. And that's what most of you and I have done. You know, our normal nature has a lot of flaws in it. We're all different people, but we got our own flaws. We need to take on the nature of God. And God is working hard to save people. Despite their sinfulness and their rebellion, his people, he's trying. You know, we just need to do our part. Need to respond anyway. Once you come, as we stand and sing.